Welcome back to the Fishing Daily Podcast with me, Oliver McBride. Today I'm joined by E. O'Donnell from the Irish Fish Producers Organisation and by Brendan Byrne from the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome, Oliver. Good to meet again.
Good to see you here. We're going to talk about the blue whiting situation. The two events have been in Brussels a lot recently, talking to the EU Commission about it. And the EU and Norway is due to meet this week again for another round of talks on reaching a fisheries agreement for 2023. And in the last talks held back at the beginning of the month, it was reported that the EU made some concessions and the Norway wasn't willing to make concessions. What was the Commission's feedback on those negotiations? And looking forward to the next round, has the Commission promised more of the same? E, if you'd like to start.
Well, I suppose the fourth round took place a few weeks ago. Basically, that was inconclusive. I suppose in a kind of a way, there's a certain degree of frustration, not just with the Commission, but with industry generally, that the Norwegians are not prepared to come to the table with some sort of set of firm proposals. It would appear that the Commission gave a very balanced, rounded set of proposals to Norway, but unfortunately they haven't come to the table, and it would appear that there's no firm proposals from the Norwegians at this stage. And the fifth round of negotiations, as we understand it, are predicated on having a firm set of counter proposals from the Norwegians. So time is slipping by, there's no agreement. We're obviously concerned that some of the other member states, their ambitions to fish within the Norwegian zone are being held up by this. That's been fully discussed and communicated between ourselves and our colleagues in Europe. But there's a little bit of pressure on to get an agreement and for the Norwegians to come to the table.
And Brendan, in the past couple of weeks, what's changed when you've been meeting the EU Commission? Is there a stronger relationship being developed there?
I think the reality is setting in that there's a new dial tone coming from Ireland in terms of the representation that's in the form of myself and E, and in Patrick Murphy from the South and West. And the Europeans have taken this new voice in terms of the representation that we're given as a sea change, in that all is not well in Ireland. We appreciate that after the TCA, we lost extremely heavily. You could very well say for the last 20 to 30 years, the Irish fishing industry has declined. Over the last 5 years alone, we have seen 16% decline in fish processing output. We saw the Board BIA report there recently, which is even more bleak reading. So what has changed is that I think there's a realization right to the heart of Europe now that the Irish fishing industry is paying a successively high price for the membership of the European Union, and that we're at an inflection point where action needs to be taken, not alone by ourselves and our government, and I have to commend the present government for taking the action that they are, but in terms of Europe itself, that the common fishery policy, as I see it, certainly suits the larger players, the big players, but there are others, and Ireland is one of those, that's been left behind because of the common fishery policy. Now, that's a much broader issue. But here we have a one-off instance where Norway, a third country, are seeking unfettered access into the Irish box, south of 56, east of 12 degrees. And for the first time, as I see it, we have solidarity from the Commission. We have solidarity from like-minded coastal states. And the realization is that Ireland can no longer be the country that can be rolled over for the greater good of the rest of Europe.
Norwegians are saying that we call that this is not unfettered access, that the EU member states will be receiving cod quota and the Arctic EEZ. So they're claiming that it's not unfettered access, but for the Irish who cannot fish this cod quota, we're basically getting nothing back.
I think we need to be absolutely clear here. We need to be clear here. What Norway is seeking is completely new. It's an additional part to any historical existing agreement. Norway can have the historical arrangements. We will honour them to the T, but that's not what they're looking for here. They're looking for a completely new element and an additional request, which is south of 56 and east of 12. In each annex that has ever been written in terms of the historical agreements, they had never had access to that area. So any historical arrangement will be honoured by Ireland, but do not try to tell us that south of 56 or east of 12 is part of a historical arrangement. It is not. It is a new request, it's an additional request, and it has to be dealt with in those terms. And I think it's disingenuous of Norway to try to conflate the two issues. The historical agreement will be honoured, but the new element must be treated as a separate entity to any existing agreement.
Yeah, I think I have to support Brendan fully in that regard. They are two very separate issues. The issue of the balance or the transfer of the quota to Norway is a separate issue to what's at stake here. This is about access. This is about new access to our fishing grounds for a third country to fish for very large quantities of blue whiting. So we must be clear about that. We must also understand the context to this. This is occurring because Norway, as a major catcher of blue whiting, now remember they've got 26% of the landed volumes, whereas we have less than 3%. But they need this access purely because after Brexit, they were displaced from the UK zone. They used to fish this species west of Barra. Now they want to fish it as a new access inside west 12, south of 5630. This is not reasonable. And if that access has to be granted, then a price has to be paid.
What price is it that both of you are looking for the country?
Well, it has to be real and meaningful and permanent if we're to consider this access. And when I say real and meaningful, it has to be a quota transfer directly to Ireland to facilitate this access, and it has to be on a permanent basis. And after that, we will negotiate.
Yeah, and we have to give full credit to our minister, to his officials, and to the European Commission, in that they fully understand the issue that's at stake here. They are defending the position, and this is the reason why the fifth round has been so slow to conclude. And we will have to wait until we get a satisfactory deal before this fifth round is concluded. This is a national issue for Ireland. There's a lot of emotion behind it. There's a lot of understanding that we've been rolled over many times. People are now realizing that this is a post-Brexit issue. We've suffered enough under Brexit. We can't give away our access willy-nilly to third countries.
It has a very delicate position that Ireland and the EU is in at the moment, because Irish fishermen do have a poor opinion of the EU from what's been done to the country's fishing industry. If Norway would get access, where would we go from here? Like, what would be the consequences?
Well, I've always had a more nuanced approach in terms of where we are in terms of EU and the decline that we have all witnessed for the last 20 to 30 years. I have consistently said, including on this programme, that we need to get our own house in order and reprioritise fishing as an industry, as a native indigenous industry that can grow rather than decline. And that is a narrative, that pro-development and lack of innovation narrative. I have not seen that come from any department in the 20 to 25 years that I've been following fishing. So we need to get realistic here. There is a problem domestically here in Ireland. And as far as I have seen, and in this case is an example of that, when you take a merited, well thought out plan to Europe, it will be received there openly. You have to fight your corner, yes, but you would expect nothing else. But there is a failure for us as a country in the first instance. After that, the narrative has to be reset within the EU that Ireland, as a maritime nation with 12 to 13% of the EU waters, for some reason, is failing completely in terms of its fishing industry. This is a two-step process, but the first step has to start at home.
Yeah, and we have to be careful not to confuse the issue. From our perspective, we have to admire the Norwegians for what they've achieved. They've got exports 21 times the volume of our value of our exports from Ireland. They have a population the same, 5 million people. We need to emulate them. We need to defend our position, and we need to negotiate to look after our resources, to manage them sustainably. But we're not here to manage them sustainably for third countries. We're here to manage them sustainably for Irish fishermen.
And that sustainability is important because we are at a very crunch moment. Our white fish fleet has been seriously affected. Our pelagic fleet is not so much. But in terms of losing mackerel quota and other species, that's very important for a lot of the fish processors in Killybegs. We're looking at a reduction over the next couple of years. So would added blue whiting coming into the ports be a big benefit?
We have to do this step by step. It's today we're going to discuss blue whiting. Once that's complete, we must look at bluefin tuna. We must look at mackerel. We have to look at the whitefish stocks. But even the longest journey starts with the first step. And as I see it, it's blue whiting we're talking about here, but it is the first step in the clawback, that fight back in terms of the Irish fishing industry. And you're 100% correct. We're decommissioning the white fleet. The pelagic sector are under severe pressure now with the harsh mackerel quota effectively gone, with the transfer still ongoing in terms of mackerel. And the only opportunity in terms of pelagic, as I see it, the imminent opportunity facing us is blue whiting. And that's why it's critical to secure that at this juncture, because if we move away from this and we lose this opportunity, it doesn't come back a second time. So that's why every opportunity that will present itself, and there will be other opportunities in the time ahead, representatives such as myself and E and Patrick Murphy and others, we will be seizing every opportunity. And I think that's what has been realized now in Europe, that there is a new mode of working in Ireland. There's a new approach coming from Ireland. And it reflects the reality that the Irish fishing industry is at its lowest ebb for its history. It's at the lowest point ever. And when you get to that point, you will fight back. And this is part of that process.
And I think, you know, we really have to be proud about what we've achieved in Ireland, particularly in the context of blue whiting. I think we're the European leaders in the food production of this species. We can produce the volume. We've got the brand awareness. We've got the markets. We rely on third countries and other member states to supply us the volumes because our quota for the species is 3% compared to the largest, which is 26. So we have a terrible imbalance here. We have an opportunity to get some fairness. We have the industry, we have the markets, we have the capacity. We need to do this and do it fairly.
The Commission is under huge pressure from the likes of Denmark because they're looking to get their fishing boats back into the Norwegian grounds where they traditionally fish. And you have the likes of the Dutch who are trying to get the Norwegians to lift a beam trawl ban that they have in their waters. There's a lot of scenarios at play here, and how does those added pressures, how are they going to affect the outcome of the talks, do you think?
I think it's very important to be crystal clear here. The only party that's stopping the Danish vessels from going fishing, or the Dutch from going fishing, or the Germans, or whatever other country, it's the Norwegians that are stopping them. There's different parts of this overall agreement that can be implemented tomorrow morning. They're separately legal entities. They're political arrangements that stand free of any other overall agreement. And back to the point that I made, we must not lose sight of this. This new and additional access that the Norwegians are seeking into the south of 56, east of 12, that's part of no historical agreement. So all the obstacles in terms of going back to the normal practice of fishing, which is part of this EU-Norway talks, are in place and agreed. But you can't allow that to be conflated with a new element, which is new access into a very key strategic ground for the Irish people.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, Oliver. We are really strongly of the view that this position has to be defended. We're looking for a fair transaction. But we, as a nation, we are good Europeans. We're here to try and support our member states. We are here to do business, but there has to be a form of reciprocation and it has to be permanent.
The idea that Europe's been held hostage by this has been muted by a few people. Do you think, is that the case?
Well, I suppose actions speak for themselves. Certainly there's no agreement. There seems to be an absence of a commitment to coming back with sound proposals. There's a number of issues blocking this deal. Certainly, as we perceive it, the Commission are open to suggestion. They're very reasonable, but they also have a deep understanding now of the Irish view and the necessity to get a fair deal. I think it's time for the Norwegians to reassess the position, to press the reset button, and to take account of our interests and the fact that we are very, very good Europeans.
We're good Europeans, but we're not going to be rolled over one more time. If you look at the historics of the Common Fishery Policy and our other agreements, and even look at the basis of this original agreement, which was entered into by the EU and Norway, which give considerable access to them into the Irish EEZ, we played the being good Europeans on that occasion. But as I see it, they're coming back for what's left. The key area, south of 56, west of 12. And this time, there's a price to be paid. And the price has to be paid because we have an industry ourselves that's in decline. We have an industry that's under more pressure now than historically ever before. And no nation can expect us to roll over in those circumstances. And I have to commend, because there are many EU countries that are showing great solidarity to us, including the Commission, that they are very understanding and clearly know the pain that the Irish fishing industry is in. And this is not a matter of Ireland versus the EU coastal states or the EU member states, not at all. This is a key principle of how the membership of the EU comes to the defence of Ireland. It is Ireland that's on the line here. The entire fishing industry is at stake here. And Norway is a third country. The solidarity of the member states within the European Union has to come into play in this case.
That's very true, because we're all time told that this is a bloc that works together and sticks together and goes out and faces the world together. And so internally, the workings have to be the same. But if the two of you were sitting out at the negotiating table with the Norwegians over this, what would you be saying to them?
I think we can reduce this down to numbers. We've got a resource on the west coast of Ireland that's worth probably 150, maybe 200 million euros for one species. It's in our waters. It's spawning off our west coast. If you want access to this to fish for it, you've got to realise the value of this resource. You've got to realise that you cannot discriminate against Irish fishermen. There has to be some form of reciprocation. We're here to do a professional arrangement with you, but it has to be fair. It has to be reasonable. And this reciprocation on a permanent basis is fundamental to any deal.
I agree 100%. The value of the asset has to be realised. And there also has to be a second realisation. There's a new dawn in Ireland. There's new fishery leaders in Ireland that are not going to take more of the same, be that from our own national government, be that from our EU colleagues or third countries. We are an industry that has a long and noble history. But we're also an industry that has suffered because of our membership of the European Union for one reason or another. And it is our motive and our challenge to set a new narrative right across the board from Dublin to Brussels to Oslo, if that is the case. And that's where we are coming from.
Yeah, and we have to say that we have a very deep responsibility in this regard to represent our industry, to articulate the position. We have had a good hearing from the Minister. We've had several meetings with MEPs. We've had several meetings with the Commission. We've met the Commissioner. The sentiment is very much in favour of a fair deal for Ireland. And we have to commend them for their time and their attention.
Absolutely. In terms of the Minister, he's taken a very firm stance on this. Absolutely. And he hasn't wavered in that, and that's to be welcome. I will both praise and criticise him in equal measure, as I will anyone. Likewise, once Ian, I and Patrick and Sean O'Donoghue met with the Commission team, they had a clear understanding of what was motivating us and why we had such a powerful stance in terms of blue whiting. So when we meet and discuss this with the commission or the minister or whoever else, including other coastal states, there is a realization that Ireland has paid a massive price to be part of the European club. And it's only natural to think that it comes to a point after having lost everything that the fight back had to come from Ireland. Because if we failed to fight on this occasion, then we had nothing left. This is the final piece in the jigsaw. South of 56, east of 12. It's the only thing that's left at us. And for anyone to expect Ireland to hand over that and say, you're grand, take it, heart and a half. Anyone to expect us to go and do that? Well, unfortunately, they have miscalculated.
It's an emotive issue. It's a national issue. We have national awareness. We have EU awareness. And we're all sticking together on this processor, catcher, various POs. So we've got to hold firm to secure a proper deal.
The perspective of everything has changed in the past, say, like year, really, where we got used to our Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine coming back from Brussels and after December Council saying, we're lucky we got this after suffering another round of cuts. Do you think from now on, this relationship has changed for good, or we'll be able to say no more cuts?
Well, I tend to have a more balanced view on this. I always thought that the minister of the day is only as strong as the voices of the industry of the day. And on this occasion, Minister McConnell Logue, at a very early stage, once he saw the merits of what was being proposed by these fishing representatives and the organisations and the validity of the argument, I have to commend him. Very early on, he bought into that narrative. And we can see that because we're now going to go to round five and a key Irish question is still front and fore there. So, yes, the engagement dial tone has been reset, but so too has the strength of the Irish industry, and the voice of the Irish industry has grown. That is as it should have been for the last 20 years. But I can't rewrite history, but I can shape the future.
And I suppose we have to mention as well the support that we've had. We've been in Brussels many times over the last 2 or 3 months. It's where we have to be. And the MEPs have kept an open door for us across all of the key parties. We've had particular support from some of them, and we'd like to thank them for that as well.
Absolutely. And likewise, from the other parties that form the coalition government here in Ireland, in particular Fine Gael, they have made massive efforts to understand fishing and to chart a new course for it. So I think there's a whole resetting of engagement and understanding of the Irish fishing community. That has to be welcomed. And as I had said consistently since I got this job almost 2 years ago, we have to, on the first case, get our own house in order. No point in going to Europe if your own house is divided or fails to understand the challenges that you are facing.
Gentlemen, well, thank you very much for joining us today. And it's great hearing from you, because we know that we need to have a united front on these things. And it's great to see the producers and the processors here together sharing the one voice.
Thank you for your time, Oliver. It's very important to give us the opportunity to communicate our position clearly and the rationale of the case that we're making.